What was he talking about there with Germany, Sarah?
Energy policy?
They're power plants. Normal power plants. Okay. Normal power plants.
Look, I'm for fracking. I love fracking. I mean, I think Sam, I don't know, you're not Sam, but besides Sam, we have unanimity on this panel for fracking. We have a strong fracking support on this panel. But the closing statement, framing your closing statement around the Germany energy policy and how much you hate Joe Biden. Is Tulsi running a long con? I think is my best theory.
Possible.
Tulsi has been a Democrat, but just went deep undercover in MAGA so that she could prep Donald Trump for this debate.
She's Donnie
and
Brasco.
Sabotage him. That's my best theory. A couple of notes before I leave. Substantively, it was literally as if he was not prepped. He had no answer on several of the issues that he could have easily expected. Like, her abortion answer was crisp and powerful. His abortion answer was gobbledygook. Immigration, she baited him into talking about his crowd sizes during the immigration answer. He had no answer on healthcare. Was where, you know, he said he has the concepts of some plans. On the predictable things, I guess he had prepared a counter answer on the fact that all of the staff won't support him. You know, which is like, I fire people. Like, that was really the one time where it felt like he had a prepped counterpunch that he used. He didn't have to use any of those in the Biden debate, right? So maybe who knows what that prep was like. But she, on the other hand, like, she was wonderful in her own right. So I don't want to give credit to the coaching, but just like scoring on points, like, you could tell what she was coached to do. She was always focused on being on offense. She did not get bogged down in his bullshit. You know, she was pivoting back to talking about the future versus the past. On the challenging issues like fracking, she had crisp answers. She had, on foreign policy, where you knew that there was a commander-in-chief test, she's out there dropping the names of tanks and dropping the names of weapons. Like, there were just several moments, and obviously on abortion, as I mentioned, there were several moments where you could tell what the prep was. She executed it, and it was true to herself. And at the beginning, it felt a little talking pointy, but as she was getting her momentum over the course of the thing, it started to get much more natural.
Tim, I have a couple questions for you, because you've been in as someone who's done debates and been backstage with candidates. Yep. I don't want to bring up two sore subjects.
That's okay.
Candidates who've lost debates.
Yeah.
One thing: when you know it's not going well, what's it like for the team?
It's horrible. I mean, you know, 20, like, everybody knew 20 minutes in. I mean, we knew 5 minutes in Atlanta, but everybody knew 20 minutes in this time, right, that it was going horrible for Trump. And, you know, you can just, the body language, like, even around the spin room now, it's different from being on the team, but around the spin room, you know, you have the Fox pundits and you have the MSNBC, right? Like, so you can sense the energy of the spin room shifting. And, right, you know, like, look, what you're doing if you're a losing debate, which is what you did on that statement, and I've been with losing debates, is you try to grab onto one or two things, right? And you just focus on it, right? You're just like, okay, we're going to beat this to death. We're going to try to win the post game spin by focusing on whatever. We won this one thing on this one point. He didn't win on any points. No, like,
moment.
My second question.
Yeah, sorry.
You mentioned it, and I think it bears repeating. As much as the policy contrast and the rhetoric and all that, I thought one of the real stories tonight was the visual contrast in his sort of dour expression. He could not look at her, and she's sitting there sort of like curiously looking at him, being like, you fool. What? Yeah. And I, as someone who's prepped for this stuff, how much goes into prepping for that visual contrast?
I think more this time. I talked to Simone about this morning. Again, I think it's a unique challenge for women. And I think it's a unique challenge in dealing with Trump, because Trump is so visual and so TV focused. So you could tell that she prepped it. I don't think he did. Like, I don't think he thought about it. I think
it was crazy to me. He did not look at her.
He was doing his natural glower. And, you know, Alex Castellanos, who I hate, who has completely sold out to Donald Trump, and so I hate to give him credit for anything, he has a rule of thumb about debates, which is right, which is like, put it on mute. He's like, you can put it on mute and know who won almost every debate just by putting it on mute. And that was true as hell in Atlanta, and it was true tonight.
Sarah, come on.
I need a cigarette.
I'm gonna have one. I want to hear Sarah's. Can I get a rapid fire of the other three? Everybody rapid fire the other three before I go get a cigarette and start taunting MAGA people.
All right. So just here's the thing. Going into this, one of the things that we were talking about is like, she's got to do a million things, right? She's got to be strong, but also she's got to bait him, but she's also got to be substantive. But she also, like, you know, needs to walk the line between she can't make too many faces. And she literally nailed all the things. She nailed all the things. And even as a bonus, because we've been so good and Trump has been so bad, we had moderators do a few real-time fact checks.
Yeah.
Finally. A few real-time. And you know what? They're going to say it was a 3-on-1 debate, and they're going to whine about the refs, because that's what you do when you lose on points, on substance, and on style. You whine about the refs. And so that's what they're going to do. But that's all they've got. Yeah. It's all they got. Because, you know, it's not like they didn't ask Trump hard questions, and it's not like they didn't ask her hard questions, right? They all got the hardest ones. They got the tough ones.
It was worse than that, though. They gave Trump places to play. They said, here's 2 minutes, talk about immigration. And because she said your rallies are not that big, he like spent, you know, a minute and a half going off on that. Like,
people got bored and they leave.
My question for the
things up on a platter, and he couldn't figure out how to hit it. It was crazy.
Sarah AB, my only potential worry, because it does nothing for me, because I was kind of yassing it. Do we feel like she went overkill a little bit on all the faces? Do we worry a little bit about backlash among some of the focus group type people? That was my only nagging worry.
I'm going to do some in the morning, and okay. I already got into it with Frank Luntz on this because he was criticizing her on it. Here's the thing. For the most part, she was giving him the kind of bewildered look of like, what are you talking about? In a way that I felt was like, she's all of us. We're all making this face. Right. This is the face that one makes when a lunatic is ranting at you from 5 feet away. And so I don't know that I'll wait and see. You know, I do think that this is one of those moments I am very cautious about on this in particular. I have a strong point of view about how I believe she did. I think it will be interesting to hear the focus groups, because there is a lot of baked in kind of, well, the moderators were giving Trump a hard time. Like, they're susceptible to those types of things because they think it's like good analysis. And so I'll wait and see whether they kind of are like, I didn't like the faces she was making, but I don't know. For the most part, even trying to look at it through the lens of voters, she was crisp. She was firm. She did all the things. She talked about him cozying up to dictators. Like, I'm not sure. The only open door that I think she missed, I mean, I think she knocked out every single one. The only one is, I do wish she had answered the question about changing the positions by saying that she had learned during her time as vice president, right? Like, making a thing. But I don't know. That's all. That's all I got. Everything else, when it came up, she knew exactly where to go. She exceeded all expectations in that debate performance. It was outstanding.
AB?
I think her very first, when she like put her chin in her hands, it was a little affected. But as the debate wore on and he pooped the diaper, she was literally looking at him like almost with empathy. Like, oh dear, old man, ranting and drooling. With your undergarments smelling, things are really problematic. So I thought like her actual face for 95% of it was perfect. It was like, as Sarah described, like bewildered, kind of also like, wow, I can't believe that this is even happening. Like, it's like, I'm shocked, but I'm, you know, sort of pleased, but I'm just sitting here taking it all in. And it wasn't like fake toughness. What I love is every moment when she was tough just was so smooth. And that is so right. That's like,
it was so good. I'm leaving on dirty underpants, because JVL, I want to save it. I want to be fresh with you for the next level tomorrow. And I'll hopefully have material about, well, we already did a little, Sarah. I want to have some material for the next level, which is me trolling people in the spin room. I'll see y'all soon. Love
you guys.
Go with
God, Timothy. Go with God. So
what about you, Mr. Darkness, my dark clouded friend?
Yeah, man. How you feeling?
Express joy, JVL. Express it.
It was the most masterful presidential level debate performance I think I've seen. The number two here would probably be the first Romney performance against Obama, which is a thing that the history books all say that Obama shit the bed on that. And I just disagree. I thought Obama gave a very pedestrian, very average debate performance, and Romney was as good as I've ever seen anybody. And I was, I'm not a Romney guy. Like, that was the debate of his life. That was like the night that he goes out and scores 65 points in a playoff game. And I think that's what she just did. I mean, she just, it was close for the first like 7 minutes. And then she was twitchy and she was a little dry mouthed. And once she settled in, I just don't think, Trump has a single handhold coming out of this other than the moderators were mean to me, which, I mean, the only response to that is, okay, well then don't fucking lie at the debate.
Right.
It's very easy. If you don't want to be fact checked, don't say things which are demonstrably untrue.
Well, he's already put out his first truth, which is exactly what you predicted. Quote, I thought that was my best debate ever, especially since it was 3-on-1. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's what
and it wasn't his best. I mean, if we could also just say, I mean, you know, Trump has had good debates. I think he won almost every debate he was in during the 2016 Republican primaries. Like he can be very effective in a non-traditional way. He was not effective in any way. And she, I just think it was both a tactical and strategic victory at every single level for her. And as I said to people on this live stream before we do this, I mean, look, everybody here is on the side of team democracy. We don't do both sides bullshit here, but we're also not going to put the shine on you. I mean, you know, nobody here is going to tell you that, that she did great if she did terribly. That's not what
we're ones who told you Biden needed to drop out after the last one. too much unhappiness.
Can we play a game here? I want to do what people think will be the first bit that the Harris people turn into a campaign ad from this debate.
The abortion soundbite.
Which one? There's two. There's one where he says the Supreme Court was genius for overturning Roe, and then there's one where he says he refuses to say whether he'd veto a national abortion bill.
Oh, I was thinking about what they would clip of her.
I'm thinking about the clip of him.
Of him.
No, with him, it'll be the Obamacare, and it'll be saying, I don't have a plan, I have the concept of a plan.
Concept of a plan.
Which is an unfucking believable thing to say.
It's crazy.
Debate. I have the concept of a plan.
So to know that you just did Obamacare repeal and it killed you politically, and to go back into that well and be like, you know what? We're going to do it again, but I'm not even going to tell you what it is. It's like so nuts to me.
She also crushed that part by evoking John McCain.
Yeah.
Way to go. Man, had everything that she had in the can. She deployed at exactly the right time.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to give a great deal of credit to her staff, and which is ultimately a credit to her, right? I mean, she is the campaign, the staff is a representation of her. So it reflects, I mean, she executed everything, but she was as well prepared as any candidate I've ever seen at one of these, you know, both on the command of things, but also on the emotional side of it. Like, she was in the right headspace for it. And she, again, I mean, so at the strategic level, right, the strategic level is, you know, pivoting back to you. It's about, you know, you, the people. It's about the future, not the past. But the tactical stuff is all the baiting, right? And her tactics and strategy were perfectly aligned and were very, very well thought out and were deployed perfectly. And her campaign, the team that worked with her to prep her for this, did as good a job as any campaign team has ever done for one of these things, I think. And she, here's the thing, Sarah, I kept thinking about your focus groups and the people who said things like, you know, well, I just want to know more. I want to see, you know, what I just feel like if those people watch this and don't come away saying, you know, basically saying I'm now off the fence. I'm 90 for 10 for Harris. Then I don't know what is what anymore. And I guess that's my one, you know, my one Debbie Downer thing is, after a night like this, and we'll see what the numbers are. My guess is we'll have like 55 million people watched it. Maybe a little more.
Yeah. I bet the numbers are high. I mean, just look, everybody, that's all I heard. Everybody was going to watch the debate.
Yeah.
Like in a way that they don't watch the State of the Union, in the way that they don't watch conventions, they were going to watch the debate. Debates are high drama in a way that this other stuff isn't.
And a week from now, if she hasn't gone up 3 points, then I will be in a dark place about like the character of the American people, because I just don't understand how anybody could watch that and say, anybody who's undecided, like, I don't expect the MAGAs to peel off. Like, we know what they are, right? But we do have like a big chunk of like 8% of voters who are undecided. And if they like split 50-50 on this, I'm like, I don't even know what to say.
He's going to still be at his 46, 47, 48, right? Like, that's just given. It's the question is, can she get that?
Could she get to 52?
Can she get
that's to the question? 52? Can she get to 51, 51 and a half? I don't know. So, Sarah, tell me, get in a little, do a little prediction for me, Sarah, about the type of things that your flippers and your disaffected Trump voters, what do you think you'll hear from them? And what will surprise you if you hear it from them?
I guess I'd be surprised if they were like said that they thought Trump did well. Because here's the thing, even in the debate with Biden, the voters didn't think Trump had done well. Like the swing voters still, and this is where the Biden team in their spin last time was like, well, they didn't like Trump either. And that was true. The voters in the focus groups, the swing voters, sort of the down on Trump voters that voted for Trump holding their nose, they were like, yeah, Biden totally shit the bed. He's too old, but like Trump's terrible. And I feel like what she did and what she had to do, right, was make an affirmative case for why her. And she did that all night long. She's like, I'm here for you. This guy's going to do nothing for you. I'm here for you. I'm ready to turn the page. This is about, it's about generational change. It's about small businesses. It's about the economy. Like, it's a, like, I don't know if they go in there tomorrow night or tomorrow morning, if they come in and say, yeah, I watched it. And I don't know, I didn't think she was that good. I guess that's going to say a lot about the fact that people have just decided they don't want to like her for whatever reason. But I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Let's hope, man. Look, I want to be wrong. I want
to
be wrong.
What else could she have done tonight? That's the thing. It's like, what else could she have done tonight?
Yeah, like this. That's it. She
did what we said. We said, look, she needs to go out there and show she's tough on the world stage. Done. She needs to show she's got a vision for the future. Done. She needs to talk about inflation. Done. She needs to make the contrast between future and past. Done. Like, there's not much else she could have done.
Nobody cares about policy anymore. But this is as much as new centrist, new Democrat as you could possibly get, right? She's down with it on fracking. She's making big pitches to family formation, which is like a conservative JVL natalist thing. She leads in her first answer with small business owners and how important she is. Talks about how she's a gun owner. I mean, this is the most centrist possible positioning for a Democratic candidate. Yes.
I will just say something just broke on the internet. Taylor Swift announcing she is endorsing tonight, which adds to the momentum. Yeah.
Tay-Tay, is that real? Post. Is this a real thing, or is this like Beyonce is going to show up? It's on Instagram,
and she's pictured with a cat. I wish we can get this She watched the debate tonight. Like many of you, I watched the debate tonight. If you haven't already, now is a great time to do your research on the issues at hand. I will be casting my vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the 2024 presidential election. And there we go.
Tay-Tay, T-Swizzle. I don't know. I mean, I just, as you say, Sam, I don't think there's anything else. Look, God knows, I am always here to pick nits and to tell people what they could have done better. I don't think there's anything she could have done better. AB, can you think of anything?
I really don't. I mean, the only thing on inflation I want is for her to say, if Donald Trump was still president in 2021 and 2022, he would have inherited the same issues with inflation that were global because of gnarled supply chains that we did and were caused by his handling of COVID in 2020, but she, I thought, was pitch perfect on these answers. And in really, let's get back to like the complaint from the right, which is all they have is that the moderators weren't fair and they were in it for Harris. They hit her on everything. All the domestic policy issues she switched on, Afghanistan, Israel. I mean, one thing after the border, one thing after another. She got all those questions. She was just able to answer them. And as you guys have pointed out, deploy devices to deflect or to bait him after she gave a good substantive answer. That's why it was masterful. And in thinking, I just like you, I was thinking of Sarah's focus groups. And I was thinking, they're watching this guy, because I too appreciated their reaction in June, which was like, he didn't do a good job either. Like, we all thought Biden melted down so badly that we thought Trump did a good job. And the focus group respondents were like, no. And listening to Trump say that Biden doesn't know he's alive, that she hates Biden, that she hates Israel, that it's not going to exist in 2 years. She hates the Arab population. The whole population is going to be blown up. This is a crazy man. I mean, this is not a serious, he didn't do the work. He didn't have serious responses. He sounded like a lunatic. There are concepts and options we have, and you'll be hearing about it. He almost said in 2 weeks for healthcare. And then he said in the not so distant future, if you are a swing voter, if you're one of the last persuadable people, and you are looking to be sold by Donald Trump, you could not find anything he was selling you tonight.
Well, yeah. And to that point,
about prepping for this.
To that point, and I'm trying to get Caputo to write this, but he'll do it. But like, it's amazing how much of the conversation Trump engages in is just like online catnip. I hate to use the word catnip because cats are so prominent these days. But I mean, just like the whole thing, like Springfield eating dogs shit. Like, come on, man. Like,
he brought up Springfield twice within the first 17 minutes.
It's like, where, I mean, he's so clearly online. And
you saw it on television, like, Sam.
Yeah, I saw you're
a person
right.
on television. He sounded like fucking Archie Bunker there. Like, he was literally, I was watching my shows. Archie I saw Bunker the man on the TV with the diabetes, and he said they were eating dogs.
Yeah. And I just think that's, like, I think to AB's point, like, it kind of affects, it clearly affects not just the stuff he talks about, just the way he comes off, right? It's like, who is this raving lunatic who's talking about stuff I've never heard of? Like, I mean, in the greatest concern in his world is transgender operations for kids in schools, which doesn't happen, but like everyone on the online right talks about it. And so clearly this is the thing he prioritizes in these conversations. I just have to wonder, like, voters aren't there. Like, they're not talking about these things day in and day out. Do the Trump people not recognize this? Maybe I'm wrong. Sarah, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You know.
Well, just thinking about it for a second, one of the things that Trump often does that I think buys him a little space with some of these voters is that he's funny. Like, he's funny in a way that I find him repellent. But like, tonight, he can be funny and charming in his own way that like voters are like, ah, he's joking around or whatever. He had none of these. He didn't even have sort of the like nasty woman stuff that's like even kind of like fun for his people. Like, it was all gibberish. It was tough to find the thread of what he was talking about. He did not look like he was having fun, right? Like, there was no... this is one of the things that I always sort of get annoyed about, right? I'm like, stop saying joy. Like, convey joy. Stop. Like, Donald Trump don't say you're funny, be funny. Like, it's this, and Donald Trump is good at showing, not telling, right? Keeping things light and like breezy and moving. Not tonight. And this is a little bad of me, but like, this was everything I said. I don't know. This was everything I said, is that she didn't need, although I was saying a lot because I was like doing a lot of TV. What does she need to do? And I was like, look, she just needs to be competent, have command of the issues, and like Trump will rattle himself. Now, I think that I was trying to not have to have her do too much, because there was so much of like, well, she's got to be substantive, but she's also got to bait him. And I was like, yeah, that's a lot to do. She did do both, but like mostly she was being substantive. And as a result, he was losing his mind. Like, she'd throw a little bit out there and he'd go hook, line, and sinker for it. And he wasn't having fun and he wasn't being light. And she laughed a couple times and her faces are just like, yeah, you're nuts. And like, I don't think voters respond to him in part because they feel like he is the one winning. He is the one dominating. He is the one that's like keeping it breezy. I don't think there was a whole lot for a voter who doesn't already like him a ton to like find to like in that.
Yeah, but we knew that. Like, he was never going to win these people. He's hit his ceiling. He needs to bring her down. He wasn't going to grow his tent. All those undecided voters really were not considering him as a serious option. They just needed to hear from Harris. And his job tonight was to take her down. And he got so distracted by the bait that she threw at him that he didn't do it. I mean, that was it. He just got baited into a bunch of own goals. That's it.
All right. Two things, because we're starting to run long here. First of all, Taylor signed her endorsement, Childless Cat Lady, which is amazing.
I couldn't get better.
And second, I mean, I have to do it because it's on brand, but I would remind people, how did you feel after the first Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump debate? Because I don't know if you guys remember that, but that was also one of these like this. I mean, he was a ranting crazy man, and Hillary Clinton had a very competent performance. And I mean, I remember, so the morning after that, I went to the offices of the Weekly Standard and I talked with I won't name my colleague, but somebody who is very, very pro MAGA now and who was like very MAGA curious at the time. And I said, so what do you think? And he said, well, it's clear he can't be president because nobody that he totally disqualified himself from the presidency last night. We can't allow somebody like that to be president. This is somebody who was, even at the time, was very populist, nationalist, MAGA curious. So like, I see you in the chat, Sebastian, telling me not to harsh on people. I just want to remind people that we have seen this particular movie before.
I don't think
7 years ago.
I don't think so.
8 years ago.
I don't think that Clinton performance was dominating the way. You know what? Kamala Harris was not unburdened by what has been. She was incorporating what has been in this. Agreed. Like, she was bringing all of the things that we've learned to this about Trump and how you do it. And like, she was making fun of him at certain points. She was pitying him at certain points. Like, she wasn't doing deplorables. I feel like she hit him hard in a way that incorporated just the understanding that we have of how people perceive this. And like, Hillary Clinton, this is something that I sort of want to hammer over and over again, that Hillary Clinton's tagline was, I'm with her. And for Hillary Clinton, it was constantly, we had to be like, okay, this is about Hillary Clinton and her moment. Kamala Harris, and it's embodied by her for the people, but she is doing this thing where every chance she gets, she's saying this is about you and who's going to do the thing for you. That is not how Hillary Clinton did those things, right? It was about landing points on Trump. Kamala Harris both landed those points on Trump and turned generational change. We're tired of this. We're bored. And I'm going to do shit for you. I care about you.
I would just add one other thing, that Hillary's case against Trump was about a hypothetical Trump administration, what he would do as president.
True.
Kamala's case against Trump was, you aren't going to apologize for January 6th. You're not saying you do anything differently. You are cheering on the overturning of Roe v. Wade. You torpedoed the immigration border bill. Like, those are not theoreticals or hypotheticals. Yeah. She's pointing to a record. And I think the most powerful part for her was saying time and again, look, we saw what this was. We can't go back to this. Hillary had no ability to say that because ultimately she was the past and he was an unknown.
Yeah. All right. Let me go around the horn. I'm going to start with you, AB. A week from now, what is the polling average nationally?
Why do we have to do this? There was one thing that was announced. We're just going to be, that Nate Silver model gets worse by the hour. It's like 15% to 85 right now pro Trump. I don't want to do polls. I want to believe that this night couldn't have been better. Taylor Swift, the childless cat lady, has weighed in. Kamala Harris did everything and then some. She's so, like Sarah said, far exceeded our expectations of what would be the best night for her and what would be doing the best job possible. Trump drowned. He just drowned. And Tim spoke with Lindsey Graham in the spin room.
Oh, yeah. Tell them.
He said the debate team should be fired and Trump was unprepared and it's a disaster. Of course, it's always somebody else's fault. So
Trump has no agency. None.
That's not his fault.
Powerless. And remember, we've always, in the past, they've always been like, it's so great that he doesn't do any mock debates because he's the man. He doesn't have to. He just shoots the shit with us at Mar-a-Lago, this iPad, and he's doing the DJ moves and planning all the music and stopping by weddings. And he's just on the fly because he's so confident and natural. And that's supposed to be great. And he's not supposed to put in the work. So I just want to just really feel good about this. And
no, all right, I'll let you enjoy it.
In thinking of the small universe of people who are just in it for what did they tell me that's about me, that's what she did. He didn't talk to them about them. He bashed her and Biden. He was a lunatic. And she, like Sarah said, was so focused on always driving it back to you, and substantively. And she did everything she could. I mean, really, I did not. I had my concerns about tonight. She has refused to be unscripted. And she was just, it was so artful. It was so prepped. It was so strategic. I don't know what the polls will be, but she couldn't have done it better.
All right, Sarah, you're going to get the last word. So Sam, right now, the Real Clear political average has Harris 48.4, Trump 47.3. A week from now, what is it?
So this is the thing. I think it goes, it'd be very surprising if she didn't get some bump from this, but you know, these things are so cyclical. Like we're going to have three or four more cycles of despair, three or four more cycles of joy. We'll all go up to election night, you know, wanting to just chew our nails and puking or dry heaving everywhere. The thing I probably can say with more certainty is that I fully expect that in the next day or two, Trump will do something outlandish,
yes,
as he always does in moments of bad
news. Set himself
on
fire, right? Change the story.
Change story in some truly outlandish way.
He'll go to Springfield, Ohio, and actually eat a dog himself.
he'll bring RFK Jr. to do that. Yeah. All right, he's got more experience in that field. But that's what I expect because he has sort of one play in the old playbook. But this is going to be, I just want people to understand, this will be a close election. There are no knockout blows. There are things that help on the margins, and that matters. But the idea that people will say, oh, wow, it's so clear now. She should be up like, you know, 55, 45. That's just not practical. It's not how it works. Don't get your hopes up in that sense. Doesn't mean you can't sit here and say that was a really wonderful night for Kamala Harris, because it was. But we shouldn't expect tectonic shifts like that.
We do not need tectonic shifts in the national polling averages.
Yeah.
We need a 3-point bump in Pennsylvania where she starts to break away in that state, because she's breaking away in Michigan and Wisconsin and in Nebraska too. She just needs Pennsylvania. So we need to start moving her there. That's the big thing I want to see. The national averages probably goes to 49, 46 or something like that, but she's got to move up in Pennsylvania. That's the ballgame. A couple of last things I want to point out. One, Donald Trump was given a chance to stand with Ukraine. He didn't take it. He refused to stand with Ukraine. Also, I thought her answer on Israel was quite good, which I think might. She called Hamas terrorists, which was important. She led with that. And so I wonder if that didn't help her with some people who felt like she's been a little soft on that. I meant to kind of ask you guys what she thought. Here's the thing, though, that's my big takeaway. You guys are hanging out in the spin room, Kamala people, but Kamala people, if you're listening, you guys made a mistake. You thought you could run all the way on vibes, right? But this last weekend showed you that you couldn't, right? That there's a limitation, and that now we are in the fight to get to 50. You're in the fight to get to 50%. You're in the fight to get to your upside. And that means all gas, no brakes. It means going out there. She should be feeling herself now. She has shown that she can do this. Put her in front of people. Put her on TV. Put her in front of the influencers with the digital stuff, the TikToks, whatever the kids do. I don't care. Get her out there. Have her talking to people. And what is it? Release the Kraken. I don't know. She's good. Let her do it. Let her do it.
All right. There it is. Sarah Longwell, who is always right, Sarah and I will be with Tim tomorrow for the next level. We're going to have pieces and reaction from across the entire Bulwark staff coming at you over the next few hours. There will be stuff over on thebulwark.com. There will be video reactions here on the YouTube channel. If you're new with us, hit follow, hit like, stay with us. We're good. And if you haven't been over to thebulwark.com, go over there, sign up, join Bulwark Plus, do all the stuff. It's going to be a wild 8 weeks. It's going to be a wild 8 weeks. And it could be great and could be very energizing and it could be terrible. But whatever it's going to be, like, we should go through it together. All right. Guys, Amen. Thanks a lot. We will see you soon. Bye.